So for Sunday school this morning, we are going to be doing how to handle discouragement. Okay? Why is discouragement so dreaded? You know, it's universal. We all get discouraged. As a matter of fact, we can get discouraged about being discouraged. And it reoccurs. Okay? You get discouraged about something, and you think you finally got on top of it, and then it comes again, and it repeated itself. And it's highly contagious, discouragement. If somebody's discouraged and you are around them and interact with them, it won't be too long until you yourself can get the doldrums, okay? Or you can get down in the dumps, okay? How do you call discouragement? So we'll eventually talk about how to build courage. Not just sure how far we'll get in this morning, but Nehemiah chapter 4. If you would turn in the Old Testament to Nehemiah, okay, you got the Samuel and you got the Kings, and then you got Chronicles, and then you come across Ezra, and then Nehemiah. I am so highly adept at getting Bible books confused. I went right back to the Minor Prophets and I couldn't find it there. So I thought, well, when all else fails, try the table of contents. And lo and behold, it's with Ezra and way up further in the Bible than I remember. You say, well, if you read your Bible often enough, you'd find that out. You're probably right. You're probably right. All right. Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going to be looking for certain today at four causes for discouragement that was experienced here. You know, in chapter 1, if you have your Bible open, if you'll turn to chapter 1, the Jews... Now, Nehemiah is in Babylon, and the Jews were taken captive from Israel, from Jerusalem to Babylon. And some of the Jews from Jerusalem came to Babylon, and Nehemiah talked with them, and they said, verse 3, they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captives there in the province that is in Jerusalem are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. The gates thereof are burned with fire. Excuse me. Now, this became a problem to Nehemiah, verse 5. When Nehemiah is before the king, in verse 5, Nehemiah is saying, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. And then he asks God to be attentive to this particular condition. Chapter 2 is when he's before King Artaxerxes. And in verse 2, the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? He expected him, you know, to be down if he had the flu. And he says, this is nothing else but sorrow of heart. The king could detect that this was not a physical condition that caused it, but it was sorrow of heart, we might say was an emotional thing. And then Nehemiah says, then I was very sore afraid, very much afraid, because he was fearful that, you know, being sad in front of the king was going to cause problems for him. And he goes on and he tells the king about those who came from Jerusalem to Babylon and reported on what the conditions were in Nehemiah's home city, okay, sacred city, Jerusalem. And the end result is Artaxerxes gives him authority to go back to to Jerusalem and to rebuild the wall. Now, we're looking in chapter 4 to this matter of the rebuilding of the wall. And if you'll notice, there's some key verses. Verse 6 is a key verse. It says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Now we're going to look at some things in that verse, but then we're going to go to verse 10, 11, and 12, which are three other key verses. "And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you." So these are the verses we're going to look at. Now, why do people get discouraged? We're going to see four situations here in Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the wall. Four reasons we see in this story for getting discouraged. The first one is in verse 10, and we're going to look at three things in verse 10. So there's going to be the beginning, the middle, and the end of the verse. So in the beginning of the verse, verse 10a, as it's often referred to, we find fatigue as a reason for getting discouraged. Look at verse 10. "And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed." It just wore away. They worked long, they worked hard, and it was physically exhausting. Now, physically, they were up to it, but they still got tired. And we realize that can be the case. We may be physically up to things, but we can still get tired. And that can cause us to get discouraged. And I just thought of a very current example. Just thought of it now. Didn't think of it when I was sitting at home preparing. But I was telling Pastor this morning, I needed some topsoil. I had four pine trees taken down and the stumps removed. And Pat would like to build a flower bed in that same vicinity. And so I had a fellow come in that sells topsoil. And I said, "Now how much am I going to need?" Told him what I was doing. And he brought me 10 tons of topsoil. Now I have since learned that 10 tons is a lot of dirt. And since the horse is out of the barn, I went to a calculator converter online and found out that really about what I needed was 6-7 tons at the most. So you say, "Well, you've got some extra dirt." Yes, I do. But I have to move it by hand out of the way. That means filling up my cart, which it would have about 5 square yard in it, or five cubic yard in it, and then move it to a different spot, empty it, and then eventually tarp it so the weeds don't grow in it. And I am physically up to it, but I get tired. Okay? These people here in verse 10, they were physically and emotionally drained. Now, they were up to it. You can be up to something that you're doing. It's not beyond you handling it, but that doesn't mean you still can't get tired. And when does fatigue and discouragement come? Look at verse 6. "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof." It's about halfway through that this discouragement came, that their strength decayed. Now, I'm not even at halfway point on my dirt. But I can tell that I'm going to be discouraged. Okay, I'm already thinking if I had a little bobcat. But it would cost too much to rent one. And besides that, I'm physically up to it. But when you get halfway through something, another one I thought of is if you had for some reason to walk from Black Creek to Cuba. I tried to think to my, and I should have clocked it on my odometer on the way out, but you got to think ahead for that. And so, but I'm picturing and I'm thinking, if you got to the Health Camp Road or the old Jehovah's Witness building, it'd be somewhere near the half, okay? And boy, you'd feel like you accomplished something, but then you look ahead and how far you came from and how far you have to go. And if it's a hot, sunny day, you can get discouraged, okay? Doesn't mean you can't do it, but it could be discouraging. In the beginning, the people, according to verse 6, had a mind to work. They got the half that they did, they got it accomplished because the people had a mind to work. Their attitude was very positive. We can do it. Oh, I'm thinking of that little children's song about the little engine. How's that song go, little engine? I think I can. I know I can, okay? And when the newness wore off, okay, you're into something, you're into a project, you're into an event, you're into a happening, whatever it is, when the newness wears off, when you get into the routine of things, that's when discouragement can come because you get fatigued, you can get tired. The term that we use today is burnout, okay? They meant burnout. And you know, when I first started hearing that term, I poo-pooed it. Oh, man, just wrap all of them, go at it. But you know, I observed in people, observed in my own life, yeah, you can experience burnout. And it doesn't mean there's a deficiency in you. Like these people, they were capable of building this wall, but they experienced a decay of their strength. Now, the second reason why they could get discouraged, and we as well could get discouraged, is in the middle of verse 10, the beginning, and Judas said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. That's the first part. Now the middle part. And there is much rubbish. There is much rubbish. They had frustration. What is the rubbish, the rubble that they were dealing with? Well, old broken rocks from the wall. Any places where mortar was used, that would have been knocked down. And dirt that was mixed in this whole pile of rocks and ashes and half-burned timbers. A variety of things, because there were often buildings attached to a wall on the inside of the wall. And of course, the gates themselves would have been made of wood. And so there was much rubbish, junk is what they had to deal with. They had it was one thing to rebuild the wall, but in order to do it, they had to deal with all of this junk and rubbish and rubble that was there. Before they could even build the wall, they had to get rid of the rubbish. So there was room, if you please, for them to stand, for them to build their scaffold, for them to use whatever apparatus they did by way of leverage to raise the large stones that were on the ground up onto the wall, you see. And so junk in life will frustrate us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay? And you can't avoid some of the rubbish of life. But we can learn to recognize it, admit it, and do something about it. Don't give up the original goal that you may have. When you begin to see some of the junk of life, don't give up the good goal. Deal with the junk. They couldn't give up the good goal of building the wall, but they had to deal with the junk. Maybe what they did was organize a junk committee. And these were people that did nothing but haul out of the pile what was worthless. Well, I don't know where they put that, okay, but they put it somewhere. And then things that were usable, they may have stacked in another area. Of course, the great big stones, they had to leave them there and move them up on the wall, but some of them may have had to be gotten out of the way. And so rubbish in life is trivial things that waste time, that consume energy. Trivial things that frustrate us. Interruptions that prevent us from doing what we're doing and achieving our goal. You ever have a lawnmower that almost worked? And you go out to mow the lawn and it starts, but for some reason it doesn't keep running. And then you finally get it running again. Maybe it was kicking it that helped, I don't know, but you finally get it running again. And so you start again on a goal of mowing the lawn, and it stops again. You see, now, this is a personal illustration. When we moved into we're living our place 3 years now. We've been coming to church here 3 years, okay? And when I bought a new mower, self-propelled. It'll mulch, it'll shoot it out the side, or it'll bag it. But it won't start again if you shut it off to empty the bag. I don't know what it is. I took it to a lawnmower guy, and he said, well, it might be the rings, because you got oil in the filter. Oil is not supposed to be in the air filter. I found that out. And I found out it was doing that when I saw the oil that was dripping out of it. And so he gave me a couple ideas. None of them really worked. And so one thing I found is just leave it running, okay? Don't shut it down. See, I saw a problem. It was frustrating me. Shut it off, empty the bag, go to start it. It's even a key start, you know? I figured I'm old. I'm going to need a key start. I pull my guts out too often, and so I got a key start, and it won't start. Then you wait 15, 20 minutes, and it'll start. Well, you know, waiting 15, 20 minutes isn't in the plan when you want to mow the lawn. And so I come up with a solution. I just let it run. Just keep it running. And I just tie the handle down together, so, you know, and you just leave it running. Take the bag off, and then it blows if it's dry. It blows it around, you know, when you first take it off until the door flaps shut. But I get it done. And so, when you see junk, you have to do something to deal with it, or you'll be very frustrated. Bad habits in life, a lack of goals. Just, you know, you get up and you just do whatever happens to come. You got, you know, maybe you got some idea of, you know, I need to go get groceries this week, but you know, you get to it when you feel like it, or whatever, a lack of goals, or needless things, those which have no lasting purpose. When a person goes to school, they have their curriculum. That's the things they're studying and learning. Then you also have in school extracurricular activities. And these may involve sports. They may involve clubs, like a book club, a stamp club, an automotive club, whatever. Okay? And if the student is having trouble getting his classwork done, if a student has difficulty in spending enough time studying so he can learn it so that his grades can come up, you see, what that student might need to do is cut out some of the extracurricular activities. Now, they're usually very enjoyable things. But if they keep the student from getting the grades that they need, they're rubbish. It's an unnecessary thing that's in the way. Hobbies, playtime, that become a priority over true priorities. Now, I've just given a couple illustrations. Everybody in their own life, when they begin to get frustrated, needs to look at, why am I frustrated? What is causing me? I wasn't always frustrated. What is it that's causing me now to be frustrated? Because that'll bring discouragement, definitely. And then the third thing that we see here in the last part of verse 10, it says, after it says there's much rubbish, so that they were not able to build the wall. And so here we find we have fatigue, we have frustration, now we have failure. You see, you can tell a preacher made this outline because everything's with an F. Okay? I remember hearing one teacher one time, and he said, it doesn't have to be alliterated, but it does need to be able to be remembered. And that's so true. But it's still nice when you can alliterate. And so they got fatigued. They were frustrated, and now they had failure. It says, so that they were not able to build the wall. They can't rebuild the wall. How often when we're doing something do we get discouraged because we're not able to do it? We feel like we're failing in it. I never should have started this. I should have listened to my wife. I should have listened to my husband. I should have listened to my friend. Okay? Sometimes we could say, I should have listened to myself. Because when I thought about this, I thought, but I didn't listen to myself. I just went ahead and did it anyway. I can't do it. It was foolish to try. And so I give up. I quit. And I heard one fellow say one time, and I agree with it, every time he got a dictionary, he would go to that dictionary and take out a sharp razor blade knife and cut out the word quit. He would not allow the word quit to be in his dictionary. And these people that had come back from Babylon to Jerusalem in order to rebuild the wall, they were unable to finish the job as quickly as they thought, or as easily as they thought. You see, we get in our mind when we get a project, when we get something we're going through, we get in our mind, and sometimes it's not purposely thinking, but we just have an anticipated schedule. We have an anticipated, I often say to Pat, this isn't going like I thought. And she just smiles. Okay? Or I have come in already from doing something, whether the garage or outside, and I'll say, wow, that went just like I expected. Now that's an encouragement. Okay? Because more times than not, it's the other way. But these people were unable to finish the job as quickly as they thought, and the result was their confidence disappeared. Not only did their strength decay, but their confidence decayed. So how do we handle failure? When we sense failure. Quick side note. Failure is not the worst thing that can happen. Because we can learn from failure. And even with what we're failing in, we can redo it and succeed. or in other things we can have learned from what we failed in. See, now, as far as Christians, what the devil would love to get us is discouraged about failing in something. I'm going to read my Bible, okay? We're going to have a special week of meetings coming up. And during that week of meetings, Brother McVeigh is going to preach, and God is, God, not Tim, God is going to speak to our hearts. And we're going to say, okay, Lord, I know I ought to be reading my Bible more. I am going to read 5 chapters a day. Or maybe it's I'm going to read 2 chapters a day. Maybe it's just I'm going to read my Bible. All right? And we get started. And then this comes up and that comes up. And this happens and that happens. And then it's you know, 5 days a week. And then it's 3 days a week. And then after a while, we just, oh, why bother? I'm a failure. I can't be consistent in it. And we get a sense of relief if we're failing in something. When we actually give up and quit, there's a sense of relief because now we're no longer trying to do something at which we're failing. And therefore, we don't feel as bad. But, okay, there's something that we didn't do that at some point we felt we ought to do. And so, whether it's at home, whether it's, you know, in a family setting, whether it's just in your personal life, or whether it's something here at church that we're doing, if like verse 10, the last part says, so that we were not able to build the wall. We were not able to do it. So people get discouraged because of fatigue, because of frustration, and because of failure. Now I said there's 4 things, and that's the next one, and that's fear. In verse 11, now we just described verse 10, and then verse 11 says, and our adversaries said, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Their enemies. Now there's 2 men that if you've read in Nehemiah, you're familiar with their names. And if you've not, and you read in the book of Nehemiah, you get introduced to 2 men, Sanballat and Tobiah. And these are the 2 men that lead the opposition to these Jews rebuilding the wall. They didn't want it rebuilt because they would lose a sense of control over the people. They feared that if that wall was up, the people were going to get a renewed encouragement to be independent and to stand against Sanballat and Tobiah and the people that were oppressing them. Our adversaries, these were not friends, our adversaries said, they shall not know neither see till we come in and defeat them. And so some people in the land of Israel who didn't want the wall rebuilt, described here as adversaries, enemies of the Jews. The wall represented safety and defense. And so the enemies did not want it finished. And so the first thing they did was criticize the Jews. And if you read on, you'll read that opposition. They criticized the Jews. The second thing they did was ridicule them. One of the ridiculings was, yeah, they're rebuilding the wall. That's such a pathetic wall. Oh, my land. If a fox runs over it, it's so precarious and teetering, it's going to fall over. Well, now that's obviously not true. But that's what they ridiculed them with and tried to make them feel that the work they were doing was inadequate. And there are times when the devil will do that to us. He'll ridicule us He'll criticize what we're doing. And then the third thing that they did, and again, if you were to read on and read the different times when opposition came, they threatened them. So you criticized, ridiculed, threatened. And so you see, it's a gradual wearing down process. Criticize the person, then they ridicule the person, and then they threaten. Sad thing when that sort of thing happens at church. I've seen that through the years where one group doesn't like another group, one person doesn't like another person, and so they criticize them. And they go to this one and criticize what they've done, what they've said. Then after a while, they'll ridicule them. They go to somebody else and they say, can you imagine? Could you believe that? Just laugh at them and mock them. Mm-hmm. And always behind the person's back.
Yep.
And then they'll threaten them. This sometimes comes out in the open. Well, look, if we're going to do that as a church, then I'm leaving. If we're going to do that in this church, I'm leaving. I always had to make myself react right, because I would always feel, don't let the door hit you on the way out. and that's not always the best. There are times when people can be reclaimed, but there are times when they can't. But this is a downward process. And so what happened is, these Jews that came back from Babylon to Jerusalem, they began to fear. And that's what happens in a church when people are criticizing ridiculing and threatening, you know. Well, and again, this doesn't usually come public, but it may come private. Well, you know, if they're going to do that, you know, if they're going to spend the money that I give in the offering plate to do such and such a project, and we know that project's, we ought not to be doing it, I'm just not going to give anymore. Mm-hmm. I had some folks one time that they stopped giving. They were going to starve. They were going to starve us out. Literally, starve me out, but starve out the work of the church. We had to go, and it was a situation where the offerings that were always so abundant had become so diminished that the officers of the church had to meet weekly and decide what bill we're going to pay. We'll hold off on this bill. Now, Pastor knows what Grace Bible is. The Forbes know what Grace Bible is. And we always had... I didn't worry about a budget. And my approach at that church, I'm not saying that's for this church, my approach at that church was, if we got the money, we can spend it. And if we don't have it, we can't spend it. And I was able to take that approach because we always had enough money. Okay? And so, but we got to a point where for about 2 months, we had to go week by week and see what the offering was. We'd see what the bills were, and sometimes they all got paid, but there were a number of times where we'll have to hold off on this one until next week. It'll only be a week late. Call the electric company, let them know we're going to be sending it, and so on, okay? And so you say, well, what's that mean? We had people who tried by withholding their offering. They threatened. You say, well, how do you know it was that? Because we looked at it, and we did not have people that moved. You know, if you had five families move that were giving families, you could understand why your offering would be down. We didn't have anybody move. If you had five or six families that were laid off, had trouble at the plant, you can understand why their offering wouldn't be as much. We had nothing of that sort. But the strangest thing is, we also didn't have one of those dark clouds of negativity hanging over the church. And so we felt indeed the devil was trying to attack us. And you know when it came? It came right after we had a very successful week of tent meetings. We had put a tent up on the grounds of the church. We had one of them old-fashioned Sundays, and everybody dressed up like their grandparents. And we just had a great time, a good week of meetings. And then it came. You know, many times the devil will give great difficulty, whether personally in your life, in your home, or whether in the church, he'll often bring it after a great success. Again, I'm trying to remember which prophet it was who ran Zophar and he got back, Elijah or Elisha, and he ran Zophar and he got back and he was exhausted and tired and he became worried about Jezebel killing him.
Yep.
But it was a success that he had and he was running back. Well, so the builders got discouraged and therefore fear. Now, notice who scared and discouraged, who got scared and discouraged. Verse 12, it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon us. The they is the adversaries, and those that are spoken of in verse 12 were Jews who were living in Babylon. in Jerusalem and had these adversaries around them. And now these from Babylon come down to rebuild the wall, and it was the Jews that were already there. It was people who should have been excited about other Jews coming down and rebuilding the wall. But these had become so satisfied in their discouraged position, in their lethargy, they had gotten very used to Sanballat and Tobiah and all the other people being around them and controlling them, that they didn't want this wall built because then it might just bring some opposition. That's why I said if you hang around negative people very long, you'll begin to think and feel negative too. A natural reaction to fear is to run, to escape it. But it's better to face it, deal with it, make the adjustments that you must in order to accomplish what it is that you need to accomplish. Maybe they were doing the right thing, but maybe the wrong way. Or maybe they were doing the right thing the right way and just had to persist in it. One thing was certain is that they should not have given in to the fear. And so fatigue, frustration, failure, fear, these are things that can cause us to be discouraged. Now, next time I teach, we're going to look at 3 things that can offset this and antidotes, if you please, to these discouragements that they experience. Father in heaven, we do pray that by your grace we will accomplish and achieve what it is that you desire to do in and through us, as we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Can you bring one for me, please?
I got to go in there and pray.
There's no way.